Hello and welcome back to Sports Report Podcast, episode 22. I'm Billy.
And I'm Aiden.
And Alejandro's not with us today.
Sadly.
But yeah, we haven't been recording for quite a while. Last episode was episode 21, obviously, but back November 22nd. Today's January 31st, 2020. So happy late new year by about 31 days. And yeah, let's get into it. We missed a lot of stuff, including the national championship. So congrats to Joe Burrow and all that. But yeah, we missed quite a lot, and we'll get into that. All right. So this week, this Sunday, is the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is between the 49ers and the Chiefs this year. Very different than the years before. Because the Patriots are not in that anymore. They got eliminated by the Titans while we were gone. But it should be interesting to see the high-powered offenses that both teams possess go head-to-head in a major Super Bowl, I'd say. Just Mahomes, Garoppolo, it's the future, really, of the NFL in one game, and it's going to be just super interesting to see. You have Fred Warner, DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa, all those guys for the 49ers defense, and then you got Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes over there in Kansas City. So the defense, the offense matchup there is going to be really nice. What I think is going to happen, personally, is that the 49ers are going to come out strong in the run game still. Chris Jones for the Chiefs defense has been injured as of late. He's been performing well for limited snaps. They played in the AFC Championship against the Titans, but even despite that, I just don't think the Chiefs defense will be able to handle Raheem Mostert, who had a great game in the NFC Championship. I think he rushed for like 3 touchdowns, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something around there. He's had crazy games, and they still have Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman back there as well, and Jeff Wilson too. So they're just insane at the running back position right now, the 49ers. I really don't think that there's anything that can stop that, especially when you're going against a weak run defense.
Yes, but historically, when you match up one of the best offenses versus one of the best defenses in the Super Bowl, the best offense has come out on top. Obviously, you have a good offense in the 49ers, but I think if this game turns into a shootout and a high-scoring game, I don't think Garoppolo and the 49ers offense will be able to keep up with the Chiefs.
Yeah, especially I do somewhat agree with that, as if the 49ers defense isn't able to hold up, which I think they're going to be able to hold up, they're obviously going to submit some points to Mahomes, as he's such a great quarterback, and they have so much speed with Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill out on both sides, plus Sammy Watkins and great pass catchers. But I think if they do submit to the Chiefs offense, then it could be very rough for the 49ers, but I just don't see it panning out that way. I see them maybe giving up a few touchdowns, but I think the 49ers can still stick with it as long as they can keep the game within reach, which they've done pretty well this season, and wins and losses, keeping the game within a few scores so that they can keep running the ball as well as passing it, and never really having to fall back on like what Lamar Jackson had to do in the AFC divisional game against the Titans, where they got into such a hole that they actually had to throw it basically every play, which isn't their strong suit. And the Niners obviously have a better throwing game than the Ravens do. But just in comparison, if they go down 3 scores and they have to throw every single play, Garoppolo could get them out of that. But at the same time, they've relied on the running game so much.
You question on his experience to be able to throw 30, 40 throws in a game and perform well and help carry your team to a victory.
Yeah. And the Super Bowl, as of late, has really brought out the passing game in most teams. Brady, in the past few years, has besides for the last year's Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53, where he didn't throw a ton, but even still, Edelman had like 150 yards on. But, you know, it's the Super Bowl has brought out the passing game so much in the past few years, with Brady and Foles throwing for like over 300, and I think Brady went for over 400 in Super Bowl 52 and stuff, and like, most teams had to rely on the pass. Obviously, Super Bowl 50, which now is 4 years back, which is hard to believe, but Super Bowl 50 between the Broncos and the Panthers was super defensive game. That's really the only game that I can remember as of late that the defense played such a crucial role in, besides for like just key moments like Super Bowl 49 with Butler pick and stuff. That wasn't like relying on defense. It's mostly offensive game, but at the end of the game that happened. But defense is going to be key, but if it does turn into a shootout, it could get rough. But overall, it's great matchup. Mm-hmm. I think these teams are like bound to be absolutely amazing in this game. And I think that, you know, it's a change of scenery, change of teams, and it's just kind of feels different. And you got the two young guys that are going to possibly be leading the league for the next decade, which will be insane. So mm-hmm. it's going to be really interesting to see. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And, overall. You look back to the Broncos for a Seahawks Super Bowl, which was one of the few representations of when an elite defense really took over in the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Broncos had a very elite defense as well, but it was just their defense crumbled. And yes, the Seahawks offense that year was good, yeah. but it's not the caliber of the, say, the Chiefs. Mm.
Chiefs are possibly the fastest offense that I've ever laid my eyes on yeah. in my whole entire life.
They're fast-paced. They're going to wear your defense down. And in games where you see Mahomes struggling early, he might not be performing that well, but just the way they play and cornerbacks having to keep up with Tyreek Hill all game, they'll just get tired by the second half and he'll be able to find his pockets like he normally can.
Especially, I don't think Richard Sherman, he's had a kind of a resurgence of a year, but he's not necessarily a super fast corner. Mm-hmm. He likes to get physical, and that's kind of how he wins his matchups. But so maybe especially with his old age and his legs are starting to get a little worn, and he's going against a young Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, they can rest either one of them and put them against them. And coming at both sides, it's going to be really tough to stop.
Yeah,
I have confidence that they can stop him, but if they keep going at him, it's going to be really tough to stop that.
Obviously, this is control. Probably a very odd idea, but knowing Sherman is probably not going to be able to keep up, but also knowing his elite level, maybe you put him one-on-one with Travis Kelce most of the game so that you can have your younger, faster corners who can keep up with Tyreek Hill and all that. But at the same time, would you want to have Richard Sherman, who might not be as slow, but he's composed, he is really good at reading your quarterback, and
smart player.
He's a ridiculously smart player and insane cornerback to try and match up with Tyreek Hill and just have him win in the physical game. Mm.
Shut him down at the line before he can even mm-hmm. use his speed on you.
I think I think he would be able to do that. The question is, how long would he be able to do that for before he starts getting exhausted? Because it's with this Chiefs offense, it's really not a matter of if they score. It's a matter of when they score, and when they do score, how much they start piling on.
Yeah, and how much you're going to be able to put back in their face to try to keep it the same. So both teams are going to need a score and in punches. This game is definitely not going to be one of the games where it's like 14-7 or something like from the early 1960s or something.
Or 13-3 like last year.
Yeah, it's not going to be a defensive game. It's a total shift. I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes to like into the 40 ranges or something like that. It's going to be very high scoring.
I think it's a given that the Chiefs will score 30 points.
Yeah.
Yes, I think the 49ers defense will do a good job containing them and doing a good enough job to set their offense up with multiple opportunities. But at the same time, I just don't see the Chiefs offense scoring under like 30, 28 points, something like that.
I see it being really high scoring, and I see it coming down to the wire. And in that moment, Andy Reid, who struggles with his clock management, obviously, he's been in the Super Bowl before, but he struggled with his clock management, and that could really bite them. But ultimately, I think this one goes to the 49ers. My score prediction would probably be around like somewhere like 34-31, something like that. I think they both get over 30. Extremes, it could be in the 40s, but I think it's 49ers.
I was going to say 34, 38 or something like that. Yeah. I think it's going to be high scoring.
Chiefs for you.
I think your question is, yes, Jimmy Garoppolo has been in the Super Bowl before. He knows what the preparation's like. No, he didn't play in it, but he's at least been on the stage before and had to prepare for it just in case Brady went down. So, you know, he's kind of experienced it, but the question is, can he step up and perform the way a Super Bowl quarterback has to in order to lead his team to a win? And also, you want to rely on Raheem Mostert, who you never know. He can be insanely good in this, or he could flop.
He's never been there, and he's so young, we don't know.
Yeah. Just inexperienced. The 49ers team, very inexperienced with serious like playoff positions and playoff games. Mm-hmm. So
they were just 3-13 last year. Amazing turnaround.
Yeah. So you really, I guess it's very hard to predict this game. I think it's probably one of the hardest games to predict I've seen. So, yeah.
And with that, who are you going with?
I'm picking the 49ers.
Yeah.
I like Jimmy Garoppolo and I like Nick Bosa. Yeah. They're ridiculously good players. The 49ers defense as a whole is insane. I think Garoppolo may not be as flashy or as hyped up as Mahomes, but he's definitely a very good quarterback who can be ridiculously good in future years to come, as well as this year, as he has been.
And I definitely think Emmanuel Sanders will play a decent part in the offense. He's just a really underrated player, I think. Even at his old age, he's still very reliable. You've seen it in the so examples from this season, I think, was the game he had against the Cardinals was really good on Thursday Night Football. So if you ever want to see Emmanuel Sanders play well, I'd check that one out. He went insane. And same with Garoppolo. It just shows, like, in the playoffs, they haven't utilized Garoppolo a lot because they can just hand it off the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm. So he's not really the quarterback that's going to throw 4 touchdowns in a game.
Garoppolo's going to be really rested, but if you look back on that game against the Cardinals, you can see how good of a quarterback he can be when he gets the ball. So I don't think that you really have to worry about him having to throw a ton because I think he'll follow through and actually do well with that. So that's the Super Bowl. Should be really interesting. Can't wait to figure out how that one works out. It's going to be a really good game. Anyways, on to NFL free agency, which starts March 18th, but rumors have already started ever since teams have exited the playoffs. And obviously, the biggest free agent maybe of this decade, I can't really remember. Well, not this new decade, but kind of like, you know, the last 10 years. But we haven't really seen a free agent come out into the market with this big of a name. Obviously, the best player of all time, Tom Brady, even at his old age, can still get it done. And he is going to be a free agent for the first time in his whole entire career. Obviously, the Patriots renegotiated his contract at the start of the season and took away a clause that would allow them to franchise tag him, so they can't franchise tag him anymore, and he's going to be a free agent no matter what. So it's just a matter if he stays in New England or if he goes. So some of the locations that he's been going through right now and he's been looking at have been the Las Vegas. So the Las Vegas Raiders, Tennessee Titans, Miami Dolphins, and LA Chargers have also been rumored, but they really haven't done anything to show that he wants to go to LA. But anyways, apparently he won't take a hometown discount. So he wants money right now.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be paid like a high quality quarterback. He's always taken discounts for the benefit of the team, and now he's finally kind of saying he wants to be paid
like the player he is.
Yeah. And obviously it's not a great time for that, as he's now in his 40s and he's gonna be like 43 coming into the next season. So not a great time for that, but obviously he kind of deserves it, seeing as that he's taken a discount his whole entire career. So he's finally going to be getting that money, and we know he's gonna be getting that money. It just depends on which team he's going to get it from.
And not only does he bring your team a whole new aspect and a whole new, like, style of play and just a great leader for your team, he brings a lot of money for your team, as well as I'm sure there will be many more people who will want to go to your games, especially if you're a Raiders fan, as they're not the greatest right now.
And they're just moving to Las Vegas this year, so what a way to start out.
Yeah. Like, someone says, oh, I've never seen Brady play before, he's no longer the Patriots, let's go to Vegas for a fun trip and we'll see him play in their brand new stadium. And as well, jersey sales, those are going to be sky high.
It will be the most sold jersey of the season. No guaranteed. Doubt. No matter if he's bad on the team or not, it will be the... And it's the closest we'll ever get to the who's the most important, Belichick or Brady, because we'll actually get to see that.
Yeah, that will prove itself if he does go somewhere else. But at the same time, I think if Brady does leave and he ends up not performing at the team he goes to, that can really hurt his legacy. As to where I think if he stays a Patriot throughout, even if he doesn't have a great couple last years and he just retires always staying a Patriot, I think his legacy would be much more cemented and respected if he stayed with the same team all throughout his career.
Especially if Belichick goes out and gets some of the people that they're apparently looking at, who, like Andy Dalton, who not the greatest of resumes, I'd say, and wins like 12 games. That would,
but yet again,
on
he's
Brady.
Not. He's on the Bengals, so it's hard to get wins there. But, you think maybe? Obviously, I think Brady's gonna wait a decent amount of time before actually signing a contract. I don't think he's gonna sign with someone right at the beginning of free agency. So maybe you see the Patriots go out, sign someone like Greg Olsen, who's going to be a free agent, so that they have a receiving tight end, kind of.
Which they desperately needed last season.
And hoping he stays healthy. Go out, either make a trade for a receiver, sign a receiver.
Yeah, the wide receiver
maybe
market
bring,
isn't that thick this year.
I don't know if Amendola is a free agent. Yes. Maybe bring Amendola back, bring some familiar faces back. Just make the offense and environment for him more attractive to come back to you.
Yeah.
Because we know the defense is there. That's not what needs improvement right now, unless you lose Van Noy. What they need is to improve the weapons Brady has. They're fine at the running back position for now, with Michelle and White and Burkhead. What they just need to go out and get people who have safe hands, and for them to have all of preseason training camp to learn each other and get to know each other, so that when it comes time for the season, they have the chemistry and know each other well enough to make good plays like they're used to. And that's why maybe I think bringing Amendola back in would be good, because it's a familiar face. They know how they both play. And
Reliable veteran wide receivers is what we need, because Brady had to rely on guys like N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers down the stretch, and really he doesn't trust them because they're rookies.
Yes,
and
they are good players, and I'm sure they will be good, but you could visibly see Brady's frustration with the rookie receivers in their route running, and how really he just – how he works with Edelman and just knowing exactly what he's going to do. And Edelman knowing exactly what Brady wants him to do, because they've been playing together for so long. I think he's really built his standard up for his wide receivers so high that he expects his receivers to know exactly what he wants them to do. So when they don't do that, it really gets on his nerves.
Yeah, and another thing that I think, if he comes back to the Patriots need to make sure he does, he hasn't gone to OTAs, optional training activities, for the past 2 years, which I think have really hurt him and his rookies coming in, because
they don't get to
know him until training
in.
Camp. So I think that he'll need to definitely do that if he goes anywhere, or if he stays in New England just to build chemistry, because I think that's been a problem, and it showed last year. That should be interesting. Anyways, Brady made multiple moves that have confused the media as to what he's even looking to do. It's been confirmed that he did buy a house in Greenwich, Connecticut, which is one of the most one of the richest towns in America. But he bought it there, which really doesn't mean a lot. He put up his house in, I believe it's, somewhere in Mass. He put up his Boston home, basically, for sale. It hasn't been sold yet, but they're out of that. He looked at the Greenwich one, bought that. He's also bought a property in Las Vegas, and he's looking at schools in Tennessee, but that's also been, which was confirmed by a Pro Football Writers of America actual writer, like a confirmed one. And but then it was then not confirmed by another person. So there's a bunch of rumors right now, and we really don't know what's going on.
Well, what I heard earlier is that you're thinking maybe the people there signed a contract with Brady saying basically confidentiality thing where they can't go out and say, hey, he was here. They kind of signed a contract saying that, because I know those do exist. I'm forgetting there's a three-letter abbreviation for it or whatever. But maybe they violated that contract or whatever, saying that they weren't supposed to say he was there. He was there, and then people reported it, and then everyone tried to say no, he wasn't, because confidentiality or whatever. But I don't know, just another interesting perspective of that.
And Tennessee would be an interesting team with Mike Vrabel and everything.
Former teammate.
Yeah, and I mean, they have a great core if they can retain
Derrick Henry, who he knows.
Yeah, I mean, very good core. Corey Davis also at wide receiver. AJ Brown. They have Logan Ryan on the defensive side, and Malcolm Butler. So familiar faces. It's basically Patriots South to some point. So teams that he's looking at do have familiar faces, besides for Las Vegas, which would be amazing to see him and John Gruden work together. Although Gruden does like his running quarterbacks, which Brady obviously isn't, but he did rush for 1,000 yards in his career. So, I mean, somewhat. So Brady in Las Vegas in the silver and black would look kind of badass, but I mean, I think that would be interesting. Miami, I don't think would be such a good option, as they don't really have.
I don't think Brady would even. Obviously, Miami's going to be interested in him. I'm sure most teams are let's see what we could put together for him and what we would do with him, because he's Tom Brady. You got to at least look into it a little bit, even though your chances of signing him might be low.
Yeah, and I think Tennessee and Las Vegas really just come out as the top ones, because, you know, Brady's been spotted talking with Mark Davis after the McGregor fight and all that. And he's obviously bought that apartment in Las Vegas, the house, and he's looked at the school most likely in Tennessee. And those are, I'd say, two of the most solid cores that he could possibly go to. Las Vegas has Josh Jacobs. You have Tyrell Williams. They'll probably add another wide receiver through the draft or free agency this year. I'd say AJ Green probably would look at wherever Brady's going. I think he might want to go there. So he means that
try and get a ring.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna come back to the Bengals unless they franchise tag him to stay with Joe Burrow when the Bengals eventually select him. But it should be interesting. Also, the Titans, you know, have Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, AJ Brown, Adam Humphries, who the Patriots wanted. Most likely, Brady had somewhat of a hand in that decision to go after him, so maybe he would want him. And obviously Amendola is linked to Brady, rumors now that Brady would like to have Amendola wherever he goes, so they'd also have him. So just really interesting with the Brady stuff. I can't wait for free agency to come. Honestly, it can't come faster. With all this Brady stuff, it's frustrating to see. Joe Montana and Joe Namath have both advised him to stay. He's had a bunch of Instagram stuff, especially last night with his tunnel picture, where people are fighting if he's going forward in the tunnel or if he's going out of the tunnel. We don't know. I think he's going forward into the field, personally.
Yes. I think the most interesting thing from my perspective about that post is the tunnel he's in is the south tunnel, I believe, which is not the tunnel that the home team would go out of. I don't know if it's the tunnel, like, adjacent to that, if it's the one the away team goes out of, or if it's just one of the other exits or whatever. But I think that is interesting to see that it's not the home team's tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. And no caption on that either. So
really the least descriptive post you could ever see.
Brady just
almost seems like he wants to play with us.
Yeah. I think he's just trying to get some hype up for him and stuff like that. So yeah, just interesting there. Andy Dalton might be a potential replacement for Brady. Personally, I think this is a horrible idea. And Bill Belichick, you are kind of dumb for doing this. I'm sorry, but that would be bad idea.
Agreed.
Very bad idea. If he went to Las Vegas, you know, Derek Carr is available. I'd take that over Andy Dalton. And I think you'd probably get him for about the same price because I think the Bengals would ask a lot for Dalton. For some reason, I feel like that would be a lot. And I feel like Belichick would bite on that too because he gave up a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. So let's not make a bad trade here and maybe just look at someone in the draft or make a better decision there. But yeah, that's my opinion on the Andy Dalton reports that keep coming out every single day.
What do you think it would take for the Patriots to be able to trade up high enough to get a good quarterback? Probably not Joe Burrow. I don't think the Bengals are going to be giving up that one spot, but I don't know who the other quarterbacks in the draft but I'm sure there's other good ones that they could trade up into the first, second round to get to.
Now, I don't even think they need to trade up to get a good replacement at this point. I think Jordan Love from Utah State, he struggled this year, but I think he was in a new offense and all that. But his junior season, he went off. He was amazing. He has a great arm. He's accurate. He puts in the ball in the tight spots. He's athletic. You know, he has it all.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs to – I think he's more of a player that can't probably start year one but would need a little molding. And I think at 23, you could definitely get Jordan Love. Justin Herbert, after a senior bowl performance, probably won't slide that from Oregon. Probably won't slide far down. He might even go 6 to the Chargers if they don't take Tua.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that should be interesting. I'd like Herbert or Jordan Love there. Also, Jalen Hurts maybe in the later rounds. Possibly, you know, I think I'm a believer in him. I think he has a good arm, and plus he does have the running aspects that everybody likes. Personally, I don't like pure running quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson. I don't think they're good for longevity. I think they're good, but longevity is not there. So you would want someone who can fall back on their arm, and I think Jalen Hurts, the football player from Oklahoma, could fall back on his arm in his later mm-hmm. days and actually, you know, preserve and be like a Russell Wilson type if he ever got to like that high of a level of play.
Here's another question. If the Patriots do end up drafting a quarterback who isn't starting caliber, do they end up starting Jarrett Stidham?
Yeah.
Or maybe going for a veteran quarterback who's old, a little washed up, but smart? Maybe say like a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Now, this is where you read my mind. This is where Fitzmagic comes in.
Yes.
So you'd probably get someone like this to just fill a void for a little bit, kind of like how Baker Mayfield did with like Tyrod Taylor. Although Tyrod Taylor, I wouldn't say is a bad quarterback. I actually think he's pretty decent. But neither is Fitzmagic. No, he's been in the league for that long of time for a reason. He's serviceable.
Mm-hmm. Very smart.
Yeah. But overall, I think that you might want to go out and get someone a little better, but they need a bridge in there. If not Brady, then someone else.
If they are going to go with a lower tier but smart veteran quarterback like Fitzpatrick, I think you bring in more weapons and lean back on your defense.
Mm. I think they'd win the AFC East anyways, as it's not really that competitive.
Especially after taking Fitzpatrick away from the Dolphins.
Exactly. All right. We'll be back after this short ad break, to talk about some more NFL and some NBA and tragic news in this week. Hello and welcome back to Sports Report Podcast, episode 22. We're back and we're back with some NFL. And let's get right into the fun stuff with Julian Edelman being an absolute idiot in California.
Yeah.
So Julian Edelman, who I personally love, but he was being kind of dumb here. He was hanging out with Paul Pierce and Danny Amendola in Los Angeles, where he got a little too drunk and hopped on a man's Mercedes, causing damage. He was then arrested, and I believe he has a court hearing scheduled for somewhere, I think in March or something like that. But very stupid. And the Patriots are kind of getting in a trend right now of, I mean, this whole entire season for them has just been like
riddled with
weird
things.
You got Antonio Brown, who was horrible from the start. We'll talk about
although
that later.
He did play well. It's just not the type of person you want in your locker room. Then you had Patrick Chung.
Yeah. And then we now are after we lost to the Titans. Everything broke down, and now we have Edelman jumping on cars. And then after that, you had a cornerback rookie, Jawan Williams, arrested on a marijuana charge in Tennessee. So, yeah. Not smart decisions from what you would think of as a classy organization.
Especially when it's Bill Belichick at the helm. We are turning into the Cowboys.
But not looking good for them. Hopefully they can figure that out. I think Edelman will be fine, but he seems okay. But yeah, just not a good look at all. And hopefully we can figure that one out. Chargers are rumored to be moving on from Philip Rivers, according to reports. In free agency, Philip is about, I believe, 37, 38, and is entering free agency March 18th.
So, do we think Philip Rivers retires?
No, not at all.
Do we think he goes to the Patriots if Brady leaves?
I don't think so. Right now, Philip does have a house in Florida. That's where he's lived.
So maybe Miami.
So I'm not thinking Miami. I'm thinking Tampa Bay.
They could use him, yeah.
Because Famous Jameis, I think, is, you know, the 30 for 30. It's a good documentary and TV show, but it's not good on a stat sheet. So you don't want that. So I think Bruce Arians is going to ship him out of there. He's going to go play somewhere else. Las Vegas or LA or I don't know. He can go play wherever. And they're going to take it. And Philip Rivers. Do I think this is a good move for the Buccaneers? No, because I don't think Philip's going to do anything. I think Philip's deteriorating, and I don't think he's going to be necessarily good for Tampa Bay because they probably want a young quarterback. But, you know, if they're going to draft a young quarterback and then put Philip in for a year or something, have him kind of a placeholder, that'd be fine. But right now, reports are like that Bruce Arians wants him as a Super Bowl contending quarterback, which they have a good core there with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Ronald Jones and all that, and a good defense with Shaq Barrett. But even still, that's not that much to get to a Super Bowl. And I don't think that Philip would really be the player in this point in his career to get him over the hump.
I don't think he's that much of a catalyst to get him to get that team.
Maybe if he was like 2013 version of Philip Rivers, sure, but like,
I think they would need
not right now.
A couple more additions, and you really need to bank on Mike Evans staying healthy.
Yeah, and you know, Philip had such a good supporting cast in LA, and look what happened there.
Absolutely
and
nothing.
I obviously think that Bruce Arians is a better coach than Anthony Lynn, but still at the same time, look at what he had with the Chargers with Keenan Allen, Travis Benjamin, Melvin Gordon, Hunter Henry. All those, and he still blew it. So, yeah, I don't really think he's there anymore. Middle linebacker Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers retired at age 28. He was the 2013 Defensive Player of the Year and a 7-time Pro Bowler. The best middle linebacker in the league since coming into the league, coming out of Boston College. Kind of sad thing there. You know, they fired Ron Rivera, and now Kuechly's gone. Panthers
probably gone.
Yeah, Panthers starting over anew now. You can definitely see that teams and players are now starting to really realize especially with the Andrew Luck thing at the start of the season, they're realizing that they want to take their health over playing longer in the league, which I mean, I support that. I think that, you know, you already have your money. You've had all your success that you want. You're happy with that. You're content with that. And you might want to play longer. But, you know, if you retire at 28, you did all you wanted to do. And, you know, you're, if say if you played like 3 more years and you lose 10 years off your life, I think people are now looking forward and they're like, yeah, I want to keep those 10 years. I don't want to die at 70 or 65 or something like that. They want to live longer and not necessarily less die young from
CTE.
Yeah.
All those things that are not really well known within the science and medical world yet.
Yeah, and still I think
studies being done on that.
Yeah. Kikuli's looking at, as Antonio Brown's a good example right now, of players that you would think probably you don't want them to play anymore based off of
mental health.
And if
they do want to play more, and if players like Antonio Brown do want to play again, you really want them to go get help and then come back, because it's really just not
helping them stay.
It's not healthy for him. It's not healthy for the teammates he would have. It's not really healthy for anyone in that.
Not a good situation at all. And Kikuli, he's a great guy in the community, was a great teammate. Everybody who played with him loved him. And, you know, he has no problems, but he doesn't want to turn in to be like, no offense to Antonio Brown right now, but he does need some mental help. So he doesn't want to turn out like Antonio Brown, like going crazy and all that. And I understand that. And he wants to provide for his family and he wants to live longer. And I respect that. And I think, you know, it's sad to see such a player with such talent leave the league so early, but at the same time, like, I completely understand that, and I totally respect that, and I think it was probably the right decision for him, especially with how much hits he's got. You know, he records a ton of tackles,
especially as a middle linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking getting a lot of hits, so, and delivering a lot.
Your main job is to deliver big hits.
Yeah, so, you know, Kikuli retirement, a shock, but at the same time, just totally respect that. Now on to who we were just talking about, Antonio Brown. Antonio was in a incident with his trainer, of all people, earlier last week, where he assaulted and robbed. Why would you rob him? You like have probably like $100 million anyways. But outside his home, there was this moving truck guy, and he told Antonio that he had to pay for the stuff that he brought to his house, which generally, of course you would do that because it's the moving person and you pay the moving person. And Antonio
do their job.
Is very rich and should probably have no problem paying maybe $4,000 to get his stuff that he like is supposed to pay for and knew going into it. Anyways, instead of doing that,
the driver wouldn't open up the truck and let him take his stuff out until which makes sense, and there's really no wrongdoing on the truck driver there. So Antonio Brown proceeds to throw rocks at the guy's truck, then pull him out of the car, I believe,
and assault him
with, I don't remember who it was.
His trainer
gets in the other side of the car to help him pull him out of the car, and then they both beat him up.
Which is idiotic. Anyways, AB was sentenced to prison. He turned himself in, which is super surprising. I don't know what got into his head there. Anyways.
You see the mental instability there.
Yeah, he was sentenced to... there was like things floating around where he could get like a ton of years in prison and stuff like that. But he had a $100,000 bail, paid that off. And now he's back free in the world. He had an ankle tracker.
He's probably not allowed to leave his house, but knowing him, he'll probably do it anyway.
Yeah, he had an anti-suicide vest on during the court thing, which is for high-profile inmates, I guess, is what they usually use that for.
Not really sure what it does or what it is. Yeah. It's nice to see that he gave it to him.
Yeah, because he's unstable. Anyways, he was freed this Tuesday. So, yeah, kind of, he is supposed to get mental help still, I believe.
And he's supposed to do community service and stuff. So that's good. And hopefully he just stays out of trouble, because it's just, at first, like, all this stuff, people find it funny and stuff. You know, I've made fun of Antonio Brown before, but at this point, it's just kind of scary and troubling, and you really want him to get help, because, I mean,
like, he's not only hurting himself, he's hurting a lot of other people around him, physically and mentally.
Yeah, it's just kind of tragic seeing the downfall right now.
So. Especially of such a high caliber athlete. Like, there were rumors he was going to do a boxing fight with YouTube star Logan Paul.
Yeah.
It's just, he's such a high caliber athlete that could do so much with his talent, and he just hasn't really done much with it since leaving Pittsburgh.
And hopefully he just figures it out. Anyways, our last NFL news is that Eli Manning finally retired. Hallelujah.
About 3 years too late.
3 years too late.
He might have kind of hurt his legacy by not retiring earlier. Tom Brady went out, made a tweet saying, congrats to a great career, but I wish you never won any Super Bowls, because all of Eli's Super Bowls were against Tom Brady.
And Brady'd have eight if he...
Brady would have a lot of Super Bowls.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, Eli, good career. I thought it was, you know, as a Patriots fan, it was tragic watching you, but...
he had a couple lucky plays that kind of destroyed the Pats.
Yeah. I think... You know, respect to you, I think you probably are a Hall of Famer. Looking at your stats, they're good.
Obviously, your name helps you as well.
Yes, but yeah.
Still overall, Hall of Fame worthy, though.
A good career for you, Eli Manning. So respect to that. Now on to the NBA, which is horrible.
Tragic scenes recently.
It's horrible. One of the best to ever do it. Kobe Bryant died at age 41 in a helicopter crash that also had eight other people perish, including his daughter, who was 13 years old. Also,
and a few other 13-year-olds as well.
Yeah, so his her teammates. So I think there was two of them, and then their parents. Also, one of the parents was a community college baseball head coach, like legend in California, who coached for 28 years. So he was very special in the community, and they also lost them. Helicopter crash. Not a lot is known about it right now, but, you know, very, very tragic.
It was pilot error, which is what I've heard.
Mm.
The helicopter didn't have certain instruments that could help you, like, detect terrain without having to see it, which obviously would have helped them. Kawhi Leonard tweeted out saying how he had used that pilot in the past, and how he was a good pilot, nice guy. So it's not like it's just a rookie pilot who made a rookie mistake. He was a good pilot. It was a foggy day, and it was just really unfortunate series of events. Just really sad.
You know, Kobe, such a good player in the league, and you know, we remember him for that, but we should also remember him for how good of a, like, father he was, and how good he was in the community and all that. He was just such a good person, and just did so much for the NBA, the basketball world, meant so much to America, and especially California and all that. Just amazing, amazing person. And it's just a shame that he had to go so soon, but... And you know, tragedies like that happen, and
although you do hate to see something like this happen, it is remarkable to see how it's brought not only America and basketball fans together, people who don't even follow basketball, may not even care about basketball, and people from Philippines, Europe, China, everywhere are all painting murals, making memorials. Anyone who may have followed basketball, may not have followed basketball, is out saying, praying, giving their remarks to the Bryant family and anyone else involved in such a tragic accident that no one
could ever expect to happen.
Yeah, just overall a tragedy, but something that has brought really the world together. So, yeah. A lot of teams in the aftermath found out about this about the same day. A lot of NBA games were going on. A lot of teams took 8-second backcourt violations.
Followed by 24-second
shot clock violations to honor him. And lots of moments of silence at the Pro Bowl, which was going on at the same time. There's chants of Kobe during and moment of silence and all that. And just how they respected him during this is just so amazing. The Mavericks also plan to retire the number 24. There's a lot of talk about Kobe being the new logo. Jerry West said he doesn't even want to be the logo anymore, so that could open up that. So there could be so much to honor him. I know that the Lakers have his initials on the court tonight versus the Trailblazers.
I think
so
they're honoring his initials on the court throughout the season.
I do think that too as well.
I think all teams should have his initials on the court throughout the season. Personally,
and a lot of players like Spencer Dinwiddie are changing their numbers in respect to him. Some people are keeping their numbers to show tribute to him.
Kemba Walker was asked if he's going to change his number away from 8, and he said he had considered it. He's still thinking about it. He might do it. He might not. He really isn't sure. What he said is he feels he wants to wear 8 in honor of Kobe. Yeah.
And I think either way really works because it both ways are respect.
As long as you're wearing it with good intentions.
Yes. Yeah. You want to show honor to that number as right now. Now on to how are your things in the NBA. There's a lot of news. Zion Williamson made his debut for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Very impressive.
Past few weeks. He's been very, very good, I'd say. He's been playing on minutes restrictions, but I think he has already gotten like double-double before. And like,
I think for a player impressive. Like him, he's going to need minutes restrictions even when he isn't injured or risking that, because you worry about longevity with him with his build and the amount of pressure put on his knees.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think his knees will last very long. In such a demanding sport that is just moving towards or not moving towards shortening the seasons.
And especially with all the weight that he's putting on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 285, and he's only around like 6'7 or something, so which is tall, obviously, but having 285 on that frame has got to be tough on your knees, especially with how athletic he is. So it should be interesting, but I mean, him and Brandon Ingram, those are polar opposites body types. But I mean,
good duo, though.
Yeah, very, very good duo, depending on if they do trade Ingram or not, which has been rumored.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either, but he is an all-star, actually. All-stars got released today, but well, I'm not going to talk about that much. Anyways, Jeff Teague and Travion Graham were traded to the Atlanta Hawks for Allen Crabbe, which was mostly a salary dump because the Timberwolves to Atlanta. T-Wolves looking here. I think they want to get younger. Teague really isn't going to service them much because I don't think they're really going to make the playoffs this season.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, that trade kind of works. Atlanta getting Jeff Teague back. I don't really understand that one because they already have Trae Young and all that. But yeah.
Although Trae Young has been a little injury prone this season.
Mm. And now after that, there's rumors that the Timberwolves want D'Angelo Russell, who's been playing on the horrible Golden State Warriors team. D'Lo would be pretty good for the Wolves. I'd like to see them and Kat. Obviously, him, Kat, and Devin Booker have a close friendship. You know, Devin Booker would be really tough to get over there, but if they got D'Lo and Kat there, I mean...
Although the Warriors have said they don't really want to get rid of D'Lo. They have no intentions to get rid of D'Lo, as obviously they don't have Curry or Thompson.
Mm.
So maybe looking to see next season what it'll look like with Curry, D'Lo, and Thompson, maybe all starting together with Thompson at the 3.
Yeah.
Be a small lineup, but the shooting capabilities and just it's ridiculous.
Mm.
Not only is that team good offensively, it's also really good defensively with Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. Steph Curry's a pretty good defender. And just it would look like a good team. Maybe not a championship team, or maybe probably not even a playoff team, because they have no depth after that.
Yeah.
But if
that, and it's definitely showed with all the injuries going on.
With that squad staying healthy, they could be a semi-decent team.
Yeah, back to
hoping maybe Eric Paschal can come up and be kind of a six-man for them.
Yeah. Their depth has definitely shown. Their level of coaching has definitely shown, I think. Steve Kerr. You know, this league really, besides for like coaches like Doc Rivers and Brad Stevens.
And Greg Popovich.
And Greg Popovich. Sorry for the disrespect, Pop. But yeah, anyways. It's kind of turned into a league where the NBA is really the only league in sports where it's technically mostly run by the players. Like, coaches don't matter as much. Besides for those, like, specified three coaches.
It's more about the players, how they play together,
yeah,
and their ability to run maybe a couple offenses set up by the coach, sure. But really, a lot of the offenses now are free-flowing, let the players play, and just it's not a lot of, like, I don't know. It's a lot more. Although the Celtics are a very ball movement heavy team with Brad Stevens, there's a lot of teams that just like to rely heavily on their best players in the offensive set, do a lot of ISOs and stuff like that.
I just really think that if you were to remove Steve Kerr right now from Golden State, and if you gave, let's say everybody's still healthy, and you remove Steve Kerr from Golden State, I think you still get the same result if you put in, like, Tyronn Lue. I don't really think Steve Kerr is that much of a necessity to the team.
Obviously.
Unless a coach would try to, like, take over what they already have going there. Because I think Kerr just kind of lets the players do whatever they want.
And which is probably what he was used to being able to do with the caliber of player he used to have.
But now he can't.
But now he doesn't have that in Durant, Curry. He still has Curry, but without Durant and
with Curry injured,
Clay injured, they're just missing so many pieces. And I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
it's hard to see that team doing anything very impressive in the near future.
And bringing up Steph Curry, Stephen Curry reportedly wanted to be a Knick, and which is, you know, tragic, but you know, I think Steph's all right with that. Knicks fans, after hearing that, well, not directly related, during the game, they started chanting "Sell the team" at Madison Square Garden. So, Knicks fans are happy as usual.
After a brawl with the Jazz,
I believe so. I don't know.
Obviously, no one was really in the right on that play. Jay Crowder taking a three late into the game, with them up by a significant amount, with seconds winding down. After the brawl, he went out to tweet that he plays from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, and that's just his style of play. And I respect that. I don't think Jay Crowder was really in the wrongs, necessarily. Obviously, it's a little disrespectful as you're supposed to run out the clock and just not do anything. But I think the big wrong of that play was the Knicks, forget who it was, but just running over, shoving him with intent to maybe, I don't know, intent to hurt him, but it definitely was very aggressive, easily could have hurt him, and sparked a very
nasty.
Very, very nasty. I think might have been bench clearing brawl or semi bench clearing.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of bench clearing brawls lately.
There's been a lot of brawls lately. It's looking like back when the Pistons were running the show.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting to see, but fighting is definitely not as accepted in the NBA as it was back then.
Yeah. So that was the NBA in all its glory. And now on to the MLB, or what I'm liking to say, what's left of it after this whole entire cheating scandal. and how the players are currently tearing apart the whole entire league from the inside of their own doing. Anyways, AJ Hinch and GM Jeff Lunhow of the Houston Astros, they were fired and suspended. Well, they were first suspended 1 year for stealing signs.
And then immediately fired.
And then immediately fired. The owner of the Astros said it didn't taint their World Series, which I somewhat agree with because I think really every team in the MLB steals signs. And we saw this in the aftermath with Beltran and the Red Sox and all this. Now the Yankees are kind of getting tied into it, the Mets, all this.
They all steal signs, but all just – it depends.
It's the same thing with steroids. You use it's basically
electronics that. To use the sign, to steal the signs.
Yeah.
Say, like, it's obviously you're going to go back into the dugout and be like, hey, this is the pitcher's tendency when he throws this pitch or whatever.
Yeah.
That's just a given almost. But I think using technology to live stream what they're doing.
In the trash can.
And giving, like, a signal with a trash can so that the player knows what pitch is coming already.
Now they're talking about the buzzers. Oh, man.
I only know about the Astros stuff, but
the Astros are buzzers. Yeah. They also use buzzers reportedly. That's not confirmed. But yeah. Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, was also fired for his part in the Astros cheating scandal when he was part of that World Series team as the bench coach and reportedly was a major part of that. Cora fired Carlos Beltran, who was a former Yankees and also a Houston Astros player who was a part of the scandal. He was fired from his job that he just got from the New York Mets, you know, undefeated as the Mets manager because he never played a game, but, you know, undefeated. So he's gone. Now he might have gotten the Yankees involved now in this.
I think what interests me the most in this is how, like, just non-existent punishment for the players is.
Yeah.
The players partook in the cheating just as much as the coaches did. They still used the cheating. They took advantage of the cheating. They could have said, no, don't do it when I'm up at bat, but they embraced it. They still, everyone on that team technically cheated.
Yeah.
So everyone should be punished to some degree.
Mm. And I think it's bad, but at the same time, like, everybody's doing it. It's like steroids.
Yes.
Trevor Bauer, the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, says that 10% of MLB uses PEDs or steroids. I would inflate that number.
I would say about 50.
Yeah. Especially even with the juiced balls and plus steroids, crazy combination. Every pitcher cheats, he also said. I tend to believe that from how many pitchers have been found cheating and how many teams are now all that. So this is Trevor Bauer basically not giving one and just spewing everything. He also said Houston should keep the title, which I completely agree with. LA, like, district courts, like, the friggin' legal system got in it and tried to take the World Series championship from the Dodgers and the Red Sox, which I don't even know how they have power to do that, but that didn't go through because it's stupid. And they also said that they give the titles to the Dodgers, which...
The judicial system, like, should have nothing to do with the MLB.
Baseball.
It should be the MLB deciding within them. It's not breaking a law in the United States of America.
Yeah.
It's breaking a rule in a league.
Like, do you guys have better things to do? Like, I think you should probably be worrying about the welfare of your state, not the Dodgers, but okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Other short thing from that we'll just skim over here is that Derek Jeter was not unanimously picked for the Hall of Fame. One person said that he shouldn't, and probably, I'm guessing, was a Red Sox fan. And that's going to be it for MLB. And we're almost done, but one thing I'd like to get to first is that Philadelphia Flyers mascot Gritty was accused of punching a 13-year-old. I'd like to sign off from this podcast saying, Gritty, keep your hands off the kids.
And get some help.
That's been Sports Report Podcast, episode 22.
Check out our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we're posting highlight videos now. Derrick Henry video, I'd like to
support that one. I think that's a really good one. Anyways, yeah, thank you guys for watching. Follow us on Twitter, SportsReportPo1, and follow us on Instagram at Sports Report Podcast. Thank you guys so much for all your support. We love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.